Well, praise the Lord. I forgot that I didn't have my time mic up here and needed to start the CD anyway. So, well, what a blessing. If you would, take your hymn books, if you've got one with you, turn over to page 224. There shall be showers of blessing. I was just thinking, talking to Brother James just a few moments ago about we didn't get a drop of rain here. And listen, to be honest, I'm thankful. We could use some in the garden, but I'm much more grateful that we were able to have service this morning and be together. I had been praying that the Lord would hold that rain off, so I'd much rather have that opportunity that we can come to church than get some rain for the garden. But I do believe, just looking at the forecast, just looking at everything, God's going to supply plenty of water this week. And so let's start off. Stand if you're willing and able. There shall be showers of blessing. 224. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. On the third, there shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come to church. And Lord, the great service this morning, just being able to see everyone. Lord, the very mild temperature that we had this morning. And just that opportunity to come and worship you. And Father, be able to proclaim your truth out there in a community that we don't really reach very well. Lord, it seems like the doors are so often shut. But I'm thankful that your word will not come back void, Lord. That if we'll go out and we'll proclaim it, Father, your will be done with it. And Lord, I do pray. I know that will be held against them. They truly heard the gospel this morning. It's not about something that they can do. It's not about some good works they can perform. But instead, it's about faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you would help us tonight as we study your word, Lord, that we would get refreshing from it. I think about the song we just sang, and Lord, how we do need that refreshing. Lord, I know we live in uncertain times, troubled times, Lord. It's so sad as we watch so many that are hurting and struggling. And Lord, if they would just come to you and Lord, put their faith in you, that would be their very first step to peace and true peace, Lord. I pray, Father, that your will would be done. Meet with us tonight and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Take your hymn books. Turn over to page number 63. I can't help. I like what a day that shall be or that will be. But I always think about Granny every time that we sing that song. That was one of Granny's favorite songs. And she's up there in heaven today. Doesn't have to worry about COVID. And she's already seen that day, but yet we're going to have the opportunity. There's going to be a day we're looking forward to. She already knows that day. Amen. All right, page 63, what a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. On the second, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Let's sing that chorus one more time. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. Amen. Let's sing one more, 202, 202, My Redeemer. The only reason I can have a day that's going to be great, what a day that will be, is because of my Redeemer. And so let's turn over there, page number 202, a good old Philip Bliss song, 202, My Redeemer, My Redeemer. Amen. 202, I hope you've had a good afternoon. I'll be honest, I got things done that needed done, and then I was just kind of lazy the rest of the afternoon. It's all right to have a lazy day every once in a while. And I wouldn't say I was slothful. It was productive. Sister Sarah just gave me the look like every once in a while is a little stretch there. I might have a lazy day every Sunday. But anyway, I am thankful. Some reason preaching wears you out. I don't know. You say, preacher, it's no different than public speaking. I believe it's different just for the fact that the Holy Spirit's using you. And I'm just His mouthpiece, and He definitely wears me out. 202, My Redeemer.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In the boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me.
On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. On the third, I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. On the fourth, I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Amen. Aren't you glad to be free? Aren't you glad that I'm thankful to live in a free country, but I'm more thankful to be free from sin. And I'm just thankful for my Redeemer. Tonight's message and these songs, I guess Showers of Blessing didn't necessarily go with it, but the songs, I tried to pick those that were going to kind of have a part or a place in the message tonight. And I sure am thankful to be redeemed. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn back over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2. I'm only going to read the first and the second verse. We'll get started. First and the second verse of 1 John chapter number 2. And I believe that I can just preach out of these two verses. Now I'm going to take you to some other places, but these two verses preach for themselves, and what great meaning and message they have in them. I did not preach them a whole lot this morning, knowing that I was coming this direction tonight. Didn't have everything in place yet, but knew I was coming here tonight, and I want us to look at these in greater detail. 1 John chapter number 2, if you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, just for the great service this morning and the time together. But then, Lord, as we come back tonight, I pray, Father, that You would meet with us. We need to hear from You. We need to hear from heaven tonight. I know that, Lord, as things are going and Lord, the uncertainty is still there. Things are just seems like numbers aren't necessarily changing any. Lord, we don't really know what truth is coming from anyone in this world. You don't know that it's truth from the government. You don't know that it's truth from anywhere in society, social media, any of it. But Lord, I'm thankful that we can turn to Your Word and find truth tonight. And I pray that You would guide us and direct us through it, encourage us through it. And Lord, we'll just praise You for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. How important is family name? How important is it that your name? I think about when Brother Lancaster was here, he had mentioned that his father growing up had taught him that there was two types of people. And I didn't ever teach my children this, but I don't know that it's necessarily wrong, but he was taught there was two types of people. Those that are Lancasters and those that wish that they were. And it's always just kind of, that was kind of a funny thought in mine that there's some pride that goes with the family name, and there's pride that go with the attachment of it. Now, I don't know growing up that we had third cousin twice removed and still considered them family. But I know down here, boy, blood's thicker than water. And once they're in that family, they're in that family. And then I would even look and say that if you could prove that you was related to someone famous, how much extent we would go to for it. Now, Sister Sarah, her grandmother's maiden name was Todd. And Sister Idra's maiden name was Todd. And so we've even discussed, you know, some descendants there. And there's one more that's even important with this. There was a woman by the name of Mary Todd Lincoln. Now, Mary Todd Lincoln, obviously her middle or her maiden name was Todd. It wasn't that her middle name was Todd. That's her maiden name. And she was a Todd. And so, boy, if we could link that, and I believe somewhere in there there was some distinction in being able to be related to Mary Todd Lincoln. I know even in my family, I was somehow, somewhere, some way down the line, I remember Mom saying that Grandma had a letter that linked us to a Civil War general. And I don't even remember now which one it was. But boy, the great extent that you would go to prove that you're related to someone and the importance of it. And then I think as well about the name that's placed and that association that goes with it and how proud we could be of that connection and that association. Now, there's one even greater. And I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. In verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 2, I like the fact that he calls my little children. You say, that, preacher, this is the Apostle John speaking to the church and they're his little children. No. This is God speaking to the church, the saved, the believers, my little children. Notice, if you would, over in the book of Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 14. In Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 14. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, even so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, I remember as a 5-year-old boy when my father adopted me, and I was proud to be his child. I was proud to receive that name upon me. There'll be a day where Jeremiah understands more about his adoption and that he would be proud. But then as well, I think about a child and being able to have that. But I look here and I can't help but think that I sure am proud to be his child. I sure am proud to be his child. I'm talking about to be a child of God and the meaning that it has and the message that it holds and just how marvelous it is to be in the family of God. Notice, if you would, when we think about being proud to be his child, I find the affection. The affection. I had told you this morning that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 here, this phrase or the children that's here is speaking about the born ones. The born ones. The ones that were born into the family. Now, I know that you're going to say, "Preacher, well, we weren't born into that family." No, we were born again into that family. It means that the affection is seen even more. It wasn't just the fact that we stumbled upon and, oh, by the way, John and Jacob can't help that they were born into to our family. They had no say in it whatsoever. And Jeremiah's adoption, he really didn't have any doing in it. May I tell you that we had already done everything. We had already prepared everything. We had went through the heartache. We had went through the process so that he could be adopted. And so when I look at this and I find the affection that is brought in the fact that I am his child, it reminds me of his love. And I find the redeemed. Oh, the born ones that were redeemed. It costs to be into the family. It costs Him. The cost to be born into His family or to be born again. And as we find in John chapter number 3, that we're to be born again and we're born into His family. I look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Boy, what love it was when Jesus came to be our curse and take our curse upon Him. In Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us." That means to be bought back. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. "For as it is, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And then that love that brought it down, that brought redemption down to man. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 18 and 19, it reminds us how we're redeemed. "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Boy, you want to talk about affection. It cost the Father His only begotten Son to redeem us back. What love there is when we look at the title or that phrase, "My little children." We should understand the love that is attached to that, or that affection that's attached to that, that we could be called His children. I also look and I find the association. If we're born ones, that means that we're born to the Father. We're born to Him, and there's an association that we have with Him. I think about all the promises that are in the Bible, and that we can look and we can see that God is our Father, and there's nothing that I need that He's not going to supply. There's nothing that's going to happen to me that He's not going to guide me through it and carry me through it and shelter me through it and protect me through it. A few months ago when we had all those tornadoes coming through and all those storms were coming through, Jonathan doesn't live with us anymore. He's 20 miles away over in Brooklyn now. And yet, when we knew that those tornadoes were near, what was the very first thing we do was call him and try to get him to where he's in safety and he's in shelter. Why? Because, well, I'm his father and Sarah's his mother, and we want to make sure that he's okay. May I tell you how much more of a father God is to us than any earthly father could ever be? And yet we find ourselves with that association that we're attached to God. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians, hold your place now in 1 John. But turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 6. And that association that we have with Him. You know, there's one thing that I never wanted to do as a child, was to dishonor my mom and dad. There's one thing that I want my children to learn, and I don't care if it's Jonathan and Jacob as they're older, or if it's Jeremiah as he's younger. There's just a natural desire as a child to please your parent. And so, as I look at this, and I find in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, look at verse number 17. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." May I tell you that there was just some things that my children didn't do because we didn't do those things. There's just some natural things that we didn't do because we didn't do those. Jeremiah will pass someone that's wearing something that's a little bit, well, it's immodest. And he will point over and say, "That's personal. They need to get clothes on." I'm all right with that. Well, why? Because he does what we do. You know why God says, "Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." You know why He says that? Because there's some things with that association that we have to Him that would bring Him shame and would hurt us. And God says, don't even touch those things. Come out from among those things. Don't even be yoked up with those because of the association that we have. I find as well there's an association. I don't know how many have already noticed this, but my little children is plural. It's plural. He says, my little children. He didn't say my little child. Boy, we'd look around and say, well, I don't know about y'all, but that's me. No, he says, my little children. And so when I consider this and I look at this, I can't help but see that we have a great big family. I can't help but see that we've got many brothers and sisters. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter number 5, I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. I've mentioned many times how the church is members of a body. Members being your limbs or your parts of your body. But may I tell you, it's also a family. It's also a family. And so in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 1, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, younger as sisters, with all purity. And he goes on there, he's talking about widows that are widows indeed. If they have any nieces, or I'm sorry, if they have any nephews or anyone else that's going to take care of them, they're not a widow indeed. But he's talking about the family and how we should look at each other and how we should receive each other. Boy, you know, I remember, I was talking about Granny a little bit ago. When I grew up, chocolate cake meant that the cake was chocolate. And Granny had taught us that it was, you could have yellow cake and still call it chocolate if you put enough chocolate icing. And boy, it tasted a whole lot like chocolate. I don't know if I ever tasted any yellow cake. But when it was layered, and boy, everyone was looking, when we had that family meal, you know, the one that we always had in the back. And boy, we'd have that family meal, and that cake would be there, and it would have to be sliced because people were coming. I'm telling you, I'm sure there were some that would have, if they could have, taken the whole thing. Why? They were looking forward to that family meal. You know, there's an association that goes with being a child of God in the fact that my little children, I just spoke to Brother Jared Williams today, and I can't help but remember how God had put us together. He was broke down, and he needed something. I didn't know him, didn't know who he was, didn't know what he stood for. I just knew he needed help, and he was calling a like-minded church. He didn't know us, didn't know who we were, didn't know where we stood. He just needed help. You know, I'm thankful that no matter where I go, there's always brothers and sisters in Christ. What an association that we have with just a simple little phrase, my little children. That we can all know that we're going to spend eternity together and we're going to be able to worship Him, and there's going to be some faces that maybe I've only seen them once. Maybe I only seen them from a distance. Maybe I heard someone preach and I'm going to get to see them again in heaven, and we're going to get to be forever with Him. And so I look as well the advice that's found in this passage. Notice back over at 1 John chapter 2, the advice. He goes on in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. May I tell you, that's good advice even still today, that ye sin not. In the book of Romans chapter number 6, you don't have to turn there. I've got to turn in several places. But over in the book of Romans, chapter number 6, and verse number 14, the Bible tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether the sin of death unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? And so I look and I find that this is still good advice today. May I remind you, Romans 6 and verse 23, it still says, for the wages of sin is death. There's some things, and I know that some have said that, I'm under grace. Well, let me remind you, what God tells us is that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You know that you have to be 18 in order to buy whiteout? You have to be 18 to buy whiteout. You know, I was growing up, and I could go and buy bullets as a child, a young man. I'm talking about not even, I wasn't even 16. I was probably 14, maybe 13. Maybe I wasn't even a teenager. But you could go into the store, you could buy bullets and go. You could do all of these things. And now you've got to be 18 to buy whiteout. You say, preacher, why is that? What's lawful for me to buy whiteout? But the problem is people have done the wrong things with whiteout. They've huffed it, and I don't know what they call it. I'm sure that there's a name for it. But they've abused it. May I tell you, it's lawful for me to do it. And I could even go and I can huff it and turn my nose all white. I don't know how it works, but I could huff it. But may I tell you that it's not going to be expedient. It's not going to be good for you. And so when you look at this, and you just understand that sin, even as a saved man, is not good for you. You say, preacher, I'm not going to have that second death. No, but may I tell you, it's still going to kill you spiritually. It's still going to kill your walk. It's going to kill your confidence in the Lord. You're not going to want to have fellowship with your Father when you're sinning against Him. I could always tell when my boys were doing something wrong, including Jeremiah. They don't want to be around. They don't just come up to you. May I tell you that at no time in your life is sin expedient. You see, I'm delivered from sin. Why do I want to serve it now? I'm delivered from the bondage that sin has. Why would I want to dwell in it now? And so I look as well, I find the advantage. The advantage that I have in being His child. He goes on there and he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, God puts this in here because He knows us. Notice, if you would, over the book of 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 8. Let me just tell you some truths about some things. Is every one of us is still a sinner. We all still fall short. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us still falls short. In 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 8, he says, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And then in chapter 2 and verse number 1, he says, if any man sin. He's speaking about the children. If any of you sin as my child, you're sinning as my child. And there's an advantage I have because, you see, I still have that old nature. I may be in the new family, but I have an old nature. And so, I have an advantage because I have an advocate. I have an advocate. I look there at verse number 9 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But did you see who's doing the cleansing in verse number 1 of chapter 2? Jesus Christ the righteous. What an advantage. That's how the psalmist David could cry out in Psalm 23 in verse number 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so then I find as well our acceptance. Our acceptance. You know, one of the greatest parts of being His little child
is that I'm still accepted, even when I fall. I'm still accepted even when I fail. Notice this. Look at verse 2. And He, speaking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You say, preacher, what's so important about this? It's the fact that I'm still accepted when I do sin. He still forgives me. He still picks me up. He still brushes me off. It's the fact that I still only need the blood of Christ, and it still saves today. Look, if you would, in the book of Hebrews, I want you to look at chapter number 9 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 11. There's those today that are trying to work their way to heaven. Brother Richard was speaking to me this morning, and he said he got to witness to a man that goes to another church that believes all you've got to do to go to heaven is to clean up your life and change your ways. Boy, I'm thankful that as a child of God, I didn't change him from the outside. God changed him from the inside out. He changed my desires on the inside, and it just comes manifest on the outside. But I'm telling you that every single one of us are going to fall. But when we're His child, we're still accepted at His table. When we're His child, listen, I've told my boys before, you get into sin, you get into trouble, I'll still love you, you're still my child. It does not matter. I'm not kicking them away when they fail. I'm not kicking them away when they fall short, because my Father doesn't kick me away when I fall short. Oh, there's a difference in helping them in their sin and accepting their sin. No, that's not what I said. God doesn't do that either. The Bible teaches us that we're chastised by God. Listen, a father that loves us is going to chastise us when we've done wrong. He's going to chasten us. He's going to, because we're His child, He's going to correct us and put us back on that right path. But you know, all I need is the blood. I've had it on me once, and I'll never need it again, because it's still there today. Notice, if you would, in Hebrews 9, look at verse number 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Did you notice that? By His own blood, eternal redemption. The moment that we're saved, go over to Hebrews 7, look at verse 25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You say, preacher, he's pleading my case when I need something for the Lord. No, He's also our advocate for when we sin against God. He's the one, it's still His blood. When the Father looks down, all He sees is His Son and not the sin that the Son still has, because it's covered under the blood. Oh, friend, listen. What a great title that's given, my little children. I'm proud to be His child. You know, I think about all the movie stars. You think about the Douglas family and all the descendants there from dad down. And how they're all in the... you'd see all that drama and all that sin in their lives, and they're up and down, and this one's not good and not bad, and there's several families that you can think of that are like that, but they're all still family. You know, I never want to fail my Father. I don't want to fail Him in the fact that He provided it all that I could be His child. And by the way, the life that He gave me. The life that He gave me. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And ye who were dead in your... who he hath quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. I haven't quoted that in a while. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That word quickened means that he's brought you to life. You know, when I think about this acceptance, he doesn't ever take that life back. The life that he gave us is for ours for all eternity. Isn't it great to be a child of God? Isn't it great to be his? That we can just rest in his shadow. He's still my shelter. He's still my Savior. Even when I fail, even when I fall, he still loves me. That's acceptance. It's hard. As a child, I remember as I've gotten after Jeremiah, you know, with John and Jacob, you kind of forget some things. They're older, and John was 20 when Jeremiah was born, and Jacob was 16, and you kind of forget what it was like when you got after them when they were children. But as I get after Jeremiah and he does something wrong and I get after him, and he's just wanting to know that he's still accepted. He's wanting that hug. He's wanting to come up and sit on your lap. Oh, listen to me. I'm thankful that my Father's arms are always open. I'm thankful that when he has to get after me because I've done wrong, he still has those arms open because I'm accepted. I'm still his child. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, it's not that you overlook who we are. It's not even that you accept the sin. But Lord, I'm thankful you still forgive. Lord, I'm thankful you still move. Lord, I'm thankful you still save old sinners. Lord, I'm just proud to be your child. And I'm thankful for the encouragement that you give us. I know the book of 1 John is written that our joy may be full. And even Jesus, as he was here on this earth, had told him that he leaves his joy. And that his joy may, or that our joy may be full because it's his. And Lord, I have joy knowing that I'm your child. And thank you for encouraging us through it. In times of turmoil and times of stress, I can still just go to my Father and give him everything that's on my heart. Even when I fail, he still accepts me and loves me. That affection has never changed. We always quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But I'm thankful he still loves us after we're saved. Lord, I just praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.